This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Coming up on a Friday.
Save that.
Friday, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you this morning. Straight up, 6 o'clock in America's finest city. And it's not even close, not even particularly close. We are Ben and Woods. Thanks for watching on YouTube. You can go and click like and subscribe to the feed so you can see us every morning if you want to see us. I'm in a very plain white tee this morning. Plain white tees. Hey there, Delilah.
I've heard of them.
I have heard of them as well.
Hey there, Delilah.
Wonder what those guys are up to these days. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
Benjamin Higgins. Speaking of plain white tees, Delilah, it's good to see you, my friend.
Good morning. It's good to make it to another Friday this week.
You've got one of your special Christmas shirts from Paulie.
Correct.
On. Yeah, it's comfy, isn't it?
Kind of the olive green version here.
You look good in olive green.
Thank you.
Olive drab. Like an army man.
Yes, I'm the noted army man of
you,
the group here.
You look more military today than anyone. You would have been a really good general, but
very bad private.
But the problem, you have to ascend through the ranks. But if they could have hired you on the spot to be like, you do all the paperwork, lead the men, that would be good. It would be the rope course.
Right.
The monkey bars, the shooting,
basic training,
you're done.
PT.
Yeah. But you could have, like, you would be a good hire for the military, just not as, like, a soldier. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of like a good manager. You don't have to play baseball all the time.
In the modern military, I know they have lots of different jobs,
right.
including more, professional-type skills.
But all those people still have to go through basic.
But they still have to go through, the beginning rigorous training to get through.
So like Elvis, right? When he had to, go in the draft and everything else. And his job in the military was going to be an entertainer. Why didn't they just say, all right, just go entertain. You don't have to do this.
I always wondered that myself. Because there are, there's musicians in the military.
100%.
The band players, different. They need to recruit people who play enough different instruments so they can have an entire band together, right? To play the national anthem and other events, important things. Hail to the chief. Someone needs to do that. They're all members of the military.
So why do they have to go through the normal rigors of what the guys that are going to be on the front
lines? Eventually, if push comes to shove and you're the last one, it's like, you gotta be ready to fight.
I play the trumpet, man. they made me come here. Now, listen. I don't want to get off on a tangent too much this morning, but that's kind of what foreplay is for. No Padres game last night, so yeah, it's going to be a little bit more loose today, but we do have a good show for you. It's a City Connect Friday here on Ben and Woods. Paulie's got the beautiful graphics. Paulie's got his pink shirt on. I've got my City Connect hat on. I did say something to Hannah this morning, and I wonder if you guys agree. Dodgers are coming in town tonight.
Yes.
Tyler Glasnow's on the bump. He's really good. Really good. They have a really good lineup. They're a good team.
I've heard of him.
I said to Hannah, I said, you know, as a 48-year-old pasty white guy, I realize that the City Connects were not made for me. I do enjoy this hat. My kids wear them. We match it up. You know, the whole thing. I said, do you find it, if we lost tonight, do you find it more embarrassing when we lose in the City Connects at home on Friday? She said, absolutely, 100%. And I said, do you feel like the Dodgers run out onto the field and they're like, when they look over and they see, you know, Mike Schilt in the City Connects, when they look over and they see, you know, some of the guys that don't look the best in the City Connect unis. I said, I said, do you wonder, will they keep these forever? She goes, oh, yeah, I think they'll be here forever. Do you guys agree?
I do have that feeling.
I agree with
a little
the first
bit.
Part. I think yeah. I was told, like, these were only, the plan at least was, City Connects were only going to be around for 3 years-ish. And then I don't know if they cycle in and get it. I mean, there are still teams that don't have City Connect uniforms.
Is that true?
Yeah, well, I know they just debuted some new ones this year. The Mets just got theirs. Yeah. The Rays just got theirs.
They've done like 5 or 6 a year.
Per year, yeah. So it's kind of slowly cycling through. I do know Padres are 0-3 on City Connect Fridays so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, they just don't win.
They don't win at night.
They don't win at night either.
That's true. Home games are all bad, but they lost their first one to the Giants 8-3. They lost to the Blue Jays 5-1, and they lost to the Phillies 9-3.
So we get bodied.
Three
in the
of their worst losses of the season have come on home City Connect Friday nights.
Now, Jeter says Dad Bod looks weird in the City Connects. Yeah, I like this hat. I think I look okay in it. Not great. It's not great on me.
It's a good hat.
It's a good hat.
I like the colors.
But
let's
be honest. It is, Dominic, this is such a good point. And they always show this guy on NFL broadcast. It's like the guy at the NFL game, all dressed up in a costume. His team loses. And then he has to walk out of the stadium dressed like that. That's not that extreme, but you see the guys.
The Raiders would lose at home. Dr. Death has to walk back out to the parking lot in Oakland and back in the day.
Walk out to his Camry. You know, in full riot gear and spikes coming out of him, and people are like, you just lost like 40, dude. What are you doing? So, I don't know, just a little observation I had this morning. But I am repping the City Connect because that's what, you know, I do like the hat. I absolutely like the hat.
It's become part of the fabric now.
Of course.
Like Friday night City Connects. It feels weird. It would have felt weird to come in with a brown hoodie today or something.
Correct. Yeah.
It's
City Connect Day, and, you know, I'm going to embrace it as best. I'm under no mandate, by the way. This is not a mandated, like Eric Gruppner didn't say, you guys better be repping the City Connect, because, I mean, clearly you're going to break the rules. You're repping the Army, the camo today, actually.
I'm on the Sunday.
You're on the Sunday
already, I guess. Yeah.
Today. So, yeah. So I do like the lid. But Paulie and I, we know from experience when we went out to fantasy camp and we put the uniforms on and I looked at myself in the mirror and I started to cry a little bit.
Every year at fantasy camp, they give us 2 sets of uniforms for the week.
Yeah.
And you come in the morning and find out which game you're playing.
Which one you're wearing.
Home or away or whatever. And we've had the home pinstripes for great. And
the Road Browns, amazing.
Yeah, and this year, back in January, we had the City Connects and the Military Camo. Neither of which made any of the overweight, old, white guys look good at all.
I went on the first City Connect Day, I put the uni on, and I went into the mirror, and I looked at myself in the mirror, and I went, I look like a fat, plump candy cane. And I said, it's not good, man. It's not good at all, dude. And I remember no photos today. I remember walking out to the field like, it's like, it reminded me of like when my dad used to make me wear, like, I'm not buying you new pants. I got some old softball pants. Dad, my jersey's green. These are blue and orange. Like, I don't want to wear these. Well, we don't have time to go to the store. Put these on. Like, walking out to the field, dude. So, listen. I would like to get a win in these unis tonight. That's why I wore it, just in case. Tall order, though. Certainly going up against Trevor Glasnow, but
or Tyler.
I'm sorry, Tyler Glasnow, not Trevor Glasnow. He doesn't exist as far as I know. He's a very unfortunate. He's a very likable guy. I did watch a couple of clips with him yesterday on Eric Hosmer's Instagram, and I watched the interview with him, and I went, He's so likable. He's a likable guy. I mean, I hope he gets his ass rocked tonight. But I was like, God, they used to sign guys that you would hate. And you're like, oh, good. He's on their team. I hate that guy. And now they're signing all these nice guys. And you're like, oh, I kind of like Mookie. And how do you get mad at Shohei? And now they got Tyler Glass now. I'm like, this really sucks, man. This really, really sucks. So
it was always their kryptonite. They may be good, but man, they really were easy to dislike.
Yes, it is becoming a little, it's getting a little more difficult. Yeah, I know, Matthew. I was on Eric Hosmer's Instagram. As I said before, he's putting out good content. I don't know what you want me to say. The content I'm watching is, I'm going, this is
wait
really
until the stuff Xander Bogaerts is putting out in about 9 years. Yeah. It's frustrating us.
Oh, my Lord. We got a big day here on Ben and Woods, certainly. We've got a big announcement coming up at, what time are we doing that?
7 a.m.
7 a.m. We'll have some details for you on the third annual-ish Ben and Woods Open.
Today is National Golf Day, so we planned it just like this to make sure that we were making our big announcement on National Golf Day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. That's exactly, we didn't plan that at all.
We woke up this morning and found out that it was National Golf Day.
That's exactly right.
Dude, I don't know about you guys. All day yesterday, I could not stop getting the harp sound that we played out of my head.
All day.
Yep, 10 times. Just kept thinking about it.
I was driving my wife insane. She's like, stop. I'm like, it was so funny.
Were you playing it or doing it with your mouth?
With my mouth.
Me too.
If I had one, I would have played it.
I need one.
You do?
Yeah. I told said that yesterday.
You actually want one.
I don't want one. I want. You got one? You son of a bitch. Look at you. How long did you get this?
Through the magic of modern delivery services, we got Woods' very own.
Oh, you got me one.
That same day delivery on Amazon is a real thing.
Do you know, have any idea how to play
it? Yeah, I've played one before, but it's a long time.
Does it have come with instructions? So Woods has opened it up.
I think I know.
He's got it in his mouth. It looks like some sort of key to a weird locker or something.
Ow, dang, that was my teeth.
Oh, I hurt that.
I felt that. That sounded bad.
I think I just chipped my tooth.
I felt that.
Oh, my God, this is the greatest day of my life. Thank you, guys. Oh, hurt kind of. This part, like, slaps against your lip.
Don't break it in the first 5 minutes. We spent good show funds on that.
You guys are the absolute goats. The goats. I love you.
Thank you.
I'm so happy right now.
You said something. We did that right around this time yesterday, and you said,
I want one.
God, I want one of those.
Hannah, Bo, Taylor, we're very sorry that he's coming home with his own mouth harp that he can practice all weekend long.
This is unreal. Where'd you guys get this? Amazon?
Yeah.
God, they are brilliant.
Same day shipping.
Same day shipping. Next thing you know, I got...
Polly sent it to my house. I got home. It was right there. It's there. All right. I got... Get anything in a day now. I mean, can you imagine, in the old days...
I'm so happy.
You'd be driving around, like, I don't know, do you think Guitar Center has one? And you drive out to La Mesa, and you get there, and they go, no, we don't have one of those.
Bro, it's not like 1865.
Maybe try Music Warehouse down in...
Convoy.
Yeah. So, you're heading to Kearney Mesa, and you go, I don't know, do you think we can find this thing?
You guys rule so hard. I had no idea I was getting this treat this morning. Somebody yesterday murdered me. They tweeted me. They said something. They said, chills when Woods plays the national anthem on the Juice harp before game one of the World Series.
All right, let me try. You're pretty good.
Not bad.
I mean, you're changing the tone of it. That's for sure.
Surprisingly, really.
I recognize the tune.
I am so. Steve wants to know why can't the didgeridoo get some attention? We have one at my home. It's like 6 feet tall, dude. I can't like drag the didgeridoo.
That would have probably been extra shipping. This one was free shipping we got. So. How does he make it sound so rich and deep, though? You're kind of twangy and...
It's the teeth. Normally, I say avoid the teeth. On this... Yeah, this is what happens being born in the South. It just comes natural. You hand us one of these, and it's over.
All right, well, we're not San Diego's number one morning show for nothing.
That was amazing.
All right, let's get going here on a Friday, Friday. We'll set the menu for what we've got today, and don't forget that big announcement is less than an hour away. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, if they are interested in the Men and Woods Open, they should be listening at 7 o'clock this morning for all the details. That is coming up. Let's check traffic with Kelly Danick, and here we go until 10 o'clock on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
People are very worried that I'm going to be playing the harp all day. I'm not going to. It hurts my lip.
I was also worried.
I'm not going to
be playing so the entire show. You seem so thrilled.
I'm so happy. You guys are so thoughtful. Thank you.
Getting your welcome, getting your own harp.
Not even my birthday.
I'm gearing up today. Friday. Always tired by the end of the week. Long schedule. You get up early in the morning. I'm going to the game tonight though, so I am trying to save some energy. Yeah, probably we'll have to take an hour or so in the afternoon to recharge the batteries to get downtown tonight. Looking forward to it. I know there's going to be some Dodgers fans there, but I can handle that. I don't think I'm going to get into a big fist fight with anyone. Hopefully everyone has a good time, and hopefully the Padres can come away with a win. If they take today's game,
boy, you feel good.
You feel really, really good about what they were able to do already this week. We started the week going, yeah, we'll take 3-3. We all raised our hands. Would you take 3-3 at 3 at Wrigley Field and 3 at home against the Dodgers? And all of us said yes, absolutely. Just tread some water this week. Well, they're 2-1. Now is when you start wanting to get a little bit greedy and see if you can take another series against the Dodgers. This is their first visit to Petco Park this season. You split the two in Korea. You took 2-3 from the Dodgers last month at Dodger Stadium. Can you do it again and turn this into one of the most successful weeks of the season for your San Diego Padres? This one, you against Tyler Glass now, you're the underdog. I haven't looked at the odds, but I'm imagining the Padres are the underdog in this game. But, there's no reason you can't steal it. You had a chance against Shota Imanaga. You let that one get away. Could have stolen that one. Do the same thing tonight. Keep it close. Give yourself an opportunity. The Dodgers bullpen is a bit depleted. You mentioned it yesterday, I think, on the roundtable.
Yeah.
Evan Phillips is out.
Joe Kelly
is on the injured list as well. So, it's not that they don't have replacements. They do, but it's not running at full strength at the moment. So keep it close. Give yourself a chance to win a game late. I would love to see this Padres team. They've done a lot of things already that we didn't see last year's team. They got their 4-game winning streak. They've had some rallies from early deficits to win games. It's just been a different feeling. They're hitting much better with runners in scoring position. have not seen a walk-off yet for your San Diego Padres. They have not won a game walk-off style in 2024, I believe.
I would like that very much.
And I would like to see that. Tonight, if possible, this weekend at least, at some point, you're due for one of those. I mean, even last year, as bad as it was, they had that early one when Ha-Sung Kim hit the walk-off home run. I think it was David Dahl and Ha-Sung Kim hit back-to-back.
April 8th or something.
Yeah, and then they didn't have another one for like 5.5 months.
Yeah.
But they have not done that this season. So how about tonight? You keep it close. Tied, whatever, within a run somewhere in the last inning or two, and walk off the Dodgers and send everyone who, you know, made that drive all the way down to try to get into Petco Park, make them drive all the way back up, really unhappy after they see their team lose tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Michael King needs to keep the ball in the yard tonight, you know, and I
mostly.
Know
I mean,
he needs to keep the ball in the yard. He's going to give up. They had four bombs off in the Dodger Stadium.
I mean, if they hit a solo shot, fine. One, you know, two at the most. But if you give up three homers and two of them have runners on base, you're going to lose.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. I mean, and again, you know, we've said it before. If you can get through Mookie, whew, that feels good. Oh, then you got Freddie Freeman. Oh, got through him. Oh, and then here comes Shohei Ohtani. Then Will Smith. And then Max Muncy, who again, Max Muncy is a noted Padres killer. I just feel like every time he steps to play, he maybe make me more nervous than anybody on that team. I just always feel like he's going to do damage against the Padres every time he sets foot in the box. So
true.
You know, there's some Teoscar Hernandez is having a monster year for them. Their lineup is deep. It is tough to get through. But listen, man, let the chips fall where they may. Our lineup's pretty good too.
Kiki in the chat says, I've got money. Ben can low-key throw hands. Kiki, that is the worst bet you've ever made.
Probably going to lose in that. Scratch fight. Slap, scratch. Is it more of a slap, scratch combo?
I rely simply on my intimidating size to stay out of fights.
Can I give you a tip? Yeah. In case it ever happens.
Okay.
Ball your fist up like this, and then go down as far as you can go, and just use it like a club against the side of somebody's head. Now, you may kill them. Don't try to...
No, I've never tried that.
Just, or on top.
I always, like
this, whale.
With my brother, when we get into fights, my younger brother, I just try to end up sitting on him at some point.
That would be the best.
Because he was much smaller, and, you know, I'm not a fighter. He's faster. He's nimble. I just had size, not really strength or agility. But if I could get him under me, and he had no chance, just
use your weight.
Yeah, just fall on top of him, and then he's done. Yeah. So that's really my only strategy. Get him to the ground, get on top of them, and sit on them.
Well, in a street fighter, I mean, you use your thumbs, gouge the eyes, do whatever you got to do. Get nasty, you know, and just use your fists, your big meaty fists as like
I mean, who
clubs.
Am I fighting tonight? Dave Roberts? Are we throwing down, perhaps?
We know that would never happen.
Seems unlikely, but...
Ben, you do a great job.
Yeah, I'm not taking any betting tips from Kiki. Okay. I got money. Ben can low-key throw hands.
Here's what we've got on the program today. We will preview the series, the entire series coming up here at 6:35 with the Dodgers coming to town. We already told you, Big Ben and Woods Open golf announcement coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll also play Take on Woods, wrapping up our week of Carl's Jr. gift card giveaways, and see if someone else can beat Woods in our head-to-head musical trivia challenge. Don't do this. We already have some incredible audio from last night for Don't Do This that we're looking forward to playing at 7:20.
Sure do.
I was mad we had to even wait an hour and 20 minutes for that, honestly.
Yeah, I know.
Guests on the program at 8 o'clock. It is a Cespedes Family Barbecue Friday. Jordan Schusterman is going to be with us to talk some baseball, presented by Grand Ole Barbecue. That is at 8 a.m. 8:35, we'll do an early Rindle Report to set the stage, of course, for a Friar Friday and our weekly Manager's Report with Mike Schilt, who should be feeling fairly good after a good couple of series and coming in with some confidence. And he can be happy as he comes off an off day. A good off day, I would think.
Yeah, no doubt.
For the San Diego Padres.
Can't wait to catch up with them.
Wrap things up, get you to Annie and Elston, get us to our weekend coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. So that's what we've got on the menu for the program today.
I'm ready to eat, buddy.
You're ready to eat.
Yeah. You gave me the menu. I'm ready to eat. Let's eat.
Well, then let's take your time out, and we can just get right to it, get into some Padres talk. I want to review a couple of the things. If you missed or even if you caught the roundtable yesterday, had some interesting discussions, and I need to get your guys' opinion on whether or not Tony Gwynn Jr. likes me. I'm not sure if he does.
It's a fair question.
Thank you. It's coming up next.
Very fair.
On San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Just talking about the farmer's dog during the break and my dogs. And I've got in front of me the giveaway for Tuesday, the Joe Musgrove and Theo bobblehead. And I have to say, this may be the most detailed bobblehead I have ever seen. I mean, you look at Joe here, and just from top to bottom, he's got his last year giveaway bucket hat on. He's got his Joe Musgrove shades. He's holding his coffee from Cafe Adesso. He has his tattoos here on his left arm, shoulder. They are detailed right as well. He's wearing his Joe Musgrove basketball shirt giveaway. That's later this season, I believe. We haven't even seen that one yet.
Boy, we're going to look good in those.
He's got his dog, both him and Theo.
Bobblehead.
The only thing that's missing is like that big stack of pancakes he eats from Saquon. And that's about like everything else is included in this very,
really cool one.
Very cool and detailed Joe Musgrove
bobblehead.
And as bobblehead.
Much as a bobblehead can look like somebody, it looks like a pretty good job.
Good representation.
It does look like Joe. I mean, it's not like, oh, I don't know. No, no, it's definitely.
I can't tell. Is that Ha-Sung Kim or it's Joe Musgrove?
That's one that that we definitely got to get into the collection at home. The kids will absolutely adore that one.
That is Tuesday. First 40,000 fans in attendance will receive the Joe Musgrove bobblehead with his dog Theo, presented by Petco. It's the second of five bobbleheads this year. If you're trying to collect them all, again, first 40,000. So plan to arrive early. You can go to Padres.com/giveaways to get more details on that one. But in terms of the bobbleheads, and I said yesterday during the roundtable, I'm not collector guy, but yeah. this one's pretty cool for sure. If you are,
yeah, I like that segment that you had that you mixed in.
Yeah, let me quickly ask because Paulie didn't get to chime in because he's not part of it. So the question for our seventh inning stretch during the roundtable is: what was your all time favorite giveaway or promotion at a ballpark? Something that you got during the gates or something. This could be from your childhood, you know, going to a Mariners game or something.
It was probably the first giveaway I ever got. I was probably, I think, 5 years old.
Sweet Pauly, little 5-year-old Pauly.
I don't know if they did it everywhere or if this was just something at the Kingdome is what I went to. They would just put the giveaways on the seats.
Yeah.
Instead of when you walked in.
And it was there for you.
And there
was
just 40,000 giveaway.
What a nightmare of a job.
I'm like, well, does somebody just go down a whole road?
That's exactly what they did.
Yeah. Anyways, walked up to our seats, and it was Ken Griffey Jr. bat night, but they gave out the full-size wood bat.
Smart.
It was my favorite thing ever.
Should do that tonight.
It was not like the. It was not a miniature bat. It wasn't a souvenir. I mean, it was a souvenir, but it was a wood bat. Like, you could hit it, which I ended up doing because I was 5 years old.
Yeah. Should do switchblades tonight.
Manny Machado, Saquon Casino, brass knuckles.
Brass knuckles. Solid.
It's nowadays you get your prizes, you walk through the gates usually. But I have noticed like at NBA like playoff games, and every section, like there's the white t-shirt section and the blue t-shirt section. They do that by putting shirts on the seats before the game. So when you arrive, you put on your shirt and it looks really cool on TV when each section is like color coordinated and coded, and they do that by just having it set up. Maybe the Padres could do that sometime with some sort of shirt giveaway where it's by section and you get a white one and a brown one, and like alternates throughout the entire Petco Park.
You know, the seals messed up when we had our first playoff game, which is a couple of Fridays ago. We had the rally towels, and so the place was going nuts waving the towels. The next game we had, we gave away bucket hats and so I'm trying to get it was the easy way to get them around them. Wave those towels. And the place go crazy. Playoffs, you got to give something that makes noise or that you can move around and it looks, you know, the place goes nuts. It looks pretty cool. So, but yeah, you don't want to wave your bobbleheads around. You want to keep those.
What was your choice of the your favorite promotional item?
Oh, I loved the poncho. I love
the poncho. Yeah, that was a really good one.
97.3, the fan poncho.
Company man.
I'm also a company man. So,
Tony, who mentioned the. The helmets that had the little plastic insert that would, I mean, it hurt those.
Well, if you took the plastic thing out and put it on, it was like four nails in the top of your head. It was
exactly.
A torture device. It was my buddy. We used to take them out because they wouldn't fit us.
Right.
And you bop your buddy on the head and you're like, you're done. You're done. No, it was a fun roundtable yesterday. It really was. And it gets a little spirited in there. Paulie, please read that comment
from
yesterday. So you're watching.
I wanted to know what happened. because I missed part of the roundtable yesterday, and somebody commented on...
Let's give them the credit they deserve.
I don't think I can say their name.
Woods is checking.
I don't want to say it wrong. You got it?
Oh, now he's his glasses running over.
Oh.
There's an F and a K.
All right, now we can
Odomi 628.
And a U. Anyways, the comment is, Woods is such a pick-me girl, LOL. Why you got a rag on Benny just to get a laugh out of Tony, SMH? That means shaking my head.
Right.
And then he writes under that, Tony's also got a weird little hatred towards Ben, which is kind of wild.
So we were having the discussion about, and we will have this discussion with the skipper, Mike Schilt. It's like, you know, this is something we want to know about. We talked about it ad nauseum this week, taking Jerks and Profar out for a defensive replacement. His order, you know, spot in the order came up, Jackson Merrill, very qualified hitter, as we know, but you want your hottest hitter, Jerks and Profar, taking those swings there. And you made the case.
I understand it's kind of splitting hairs, but if there's still a chance that Jerkson's going to get up,
yeah,
and you're only up by a run or two, is the advantage of the better defense. And I'm not sure how much better it is. I will acknowledge that Azokar, at least, is a better defender.
Tony said it's pretty...
He thought it was pretty... A wider gap.
A wider gap than maybe
but
we
But in
do.
The case of the game where Jackson Merrill went in, Azokar was already in. He moved over left, and Merrill went into center. And while Merrill's done a great job, and he's got speed, not an experienced defender, not as experienced as Jurickson Profar was. And I just thought, I don't understand this strategic decision. And
so why I went pick me, girl, is that Ben said... But you leave Manny in, and you leave Fernando Tatis in, and I go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Of course you do. That's two of the best defenders. And you probably just pick two random names.
I picked two good offensive players.
Correct.
Like, you leave your offensive players in. You were absolutely correct that
they're amazing.
You would never take either of those guys out. I mean,
for
even if for some reason they weren't in, you might put them in for defense at the end of the game just because they are such good defenders.
So I did, and I wasn't trying to impress Tony per se, but I did call Benny out for that in the deal.
I feel like maybe Tony's just not used to the Ben Higgins experience, and there is a bit of eye rolling that comes along with just doing a show with me.
Never.
I understand. It happens from time to time, and Tony just seemed a little worn out by it. Maybe it was having to get up in the morning and be there, but I would make a comment, and I'd look over, and
he would give
Tony
more of these.
Would kind of do the old lean back in his chair, or just kind of his eyes would kind of... Oh,
let me ask you a question. Get on the couch. Lay down. Yeah. Okay, just relax. I've done the same thing to you many times. I'll sit back in my chair, roll my head back, roll my eyes. Doesn't really seem to bother
Not
you.
At all. Yes.
Does it hurt? Hurts a little more from him.
Yes, of course.
You're not wrong.
It's not your fault.
You're not wrong at all.
Do I crave Tony Gwynn Jr.'s approval more than yours?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
100%.
Yes, I do.
Growing up a Padres fan your entire life, who was your favorite player?
That would be Tony Gwynn Sr.
And it hurts real bad when Tony Gwynn Sr.'s son, Tony Gwynn Jr., may think that you don't know ball.
Exactly.
It stings, like, maybe to your core.
A little bit, yeah.
Maybe stings you more than anything else.
Just the look at, like, why am I working with this idiot? Does hurt a little bit. And I'm never going to win that fight. He knows more ball than I do.
Oh, yeah. He knows more ball than all of us combined.
He's forgotten more about
baseball. Of course.
More ball than all of us have ever, you know. But here's the interesting thing, and this is why I think you're okay. He rolls his eyes at Chris Ello. He rolls his eyes at Craig Austin.
Chris knows ball, played in college. He's as knowledgeable about the game as anyone that I know.
So he rolls his eyes at Craig Elston. He rolls his eyes at me. He rolls his eyes at Annie. He rolls his eyes at
Scravy, I'm sure, all the time.
Oh, God, I'm sure.
Probably doesn't roll his eyes at Adam.
Sorry.
Probably never. Never, ever. I wonder if Adam...
I think Adam's scared of Tony, too.
I wonder if Adam also texts Tony Gwynn Jr. the proper bullpen usage of the San Diego Padres.
I bet not.
I wonder if he does.
I bet not.
Hey, Tony, would you have gone with Estrada there, or shouldn't he have gone with so-and-so?
Is it extra sweet because it's against the Dodgers?
So, no, he... He's so good to have on the roundtable because he's so smart. So I asked him, I grabbed him after. And yeah, that's a little bit pick me too, but I like talking hitting with him because why wouldn't you? And I straight up asked him, I said, what are you seeing from Xander? And he said, it's, in my opinion, he said, from, you know, being around him, knowing him a little bit, he goes, it's mental. He's just 100. And we talked about the pitch the night before, the 3-1. He goes, that's the same thing I thought. You take that pitch right there, it means you're not right. It means you're not right. Your head's not right. You can't pull the trigger. And when you're worried about your swing and you're worried about your leg kick, he goes, you're not going to be successful. And I said, what does it take to get out of it? He goes, hitting rock bottom. And I go, is there worse he can do? He goes, yeah, because he got a couple knocks and you start to feel like, okay, maybe I'm coming out of it. But you kind of know in the back of your head that you're not. You kind of know, even if you luck into a couple of hits, he said, he'll get going, but he's going to have to hit the bottom.
There's getting a knock, and then there's a lock.
Yeah. There's getting a knock and being like, oh, God, I was so lucky to get that knock.
We have to check traffic. Does this relate at all to the story that Yonder Alonso told on MLB Network yesterday about Tony Gwynn?
Yeah.
And the advice? I think it kind of does. I want to play that. Can we play that?
We can. We can do it. You want to do it for Doo-Doo This?
We can wait, yeah, okay. If you want, and do it for Doo-Doo This.
Paulie needs to load it.
All right, we'll have Paulie load it up. We'll play it. But Yonder told a story basically about when he was feeling rock bottom early in his career, and Tony Gwynn, as a broadcaster, gave him a little bit of advice that you might think is a little strange for a great hitter to tell another Major League Baseball player.
I absolutely thought it was weird story.
But let's play that and Doo-Doo This a little bit later. We're going to check traffic. We'll come back. Give you some of the matchups for the upcoming series against the Dodgers. Look ahead to tonight through Sunday. Coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. Paul actually found it, so we're going to get to it in just a second here. But, you know, yesterday there was a lot of talk about Tony Gwynn. It was his 64th birthday, or would have been his 64th birthday. There were many segments on MLB Network about him. I was looking up this morning, and I saw Tony Jr. and Chris Gwynn. Chris Gwynn, I had him on the phone yesterday, Gwynn.
We had Andy Ashby's great story about him yesterday at the end of the show.
I replayed part of one of my favorite stories I ever did with Tony for Channel 10. It was right before he went into the Hall of Fame. We were doing a lot of special coverage in the week leading up to it. And we had gone through our tape archives. And finally, I found the tape from July of 1982, the day Tony made his major league debut. And this was not like nowadays where every at-bat is on television and chronicled. That game wasn't on TV. But we had a photographer there who was just randomly shooting the game. And we had the video of his first major league hit. And Tony, I found out, had never seen his own first major league hit in his life.
So rad.
And on the week that, you know, he was headed to Cooperstown, I went to his office at San Diego State. We set up a television, brought it, you know, I think it was on a VHS at that point, and popped it in. I said, all right, we're going to mic you up, put you on camera. I want you to react to seeing this for the first time. And you could see he got kind of emotional. He was watching
it.
Damn,
dude.
It was Bob Dernier, was it? Dove and almost caught it. And it got just by him and ended up being a double. And you see him pulling to second in the famous story. There's Pete Rose right there at second base as he's getting there. And the story goes that Pete said, don't catch me in one night, kid, as he hits second base. And you could see them obviously having a little interaction out there on second base. And Tony talked about the story and getting his first major league hit back in July of 1982. Was one of my favorite stories I ever got to do with Tony.
Yeah. That is incredible.
So, all right. So yesterday they were talking about it on MLB Network, and Yonder Alonso, who was a Padre after Tony was done with his career, but he was still doing broadcasting for, you know, TV and did some radio as well. And Yonder was in a slump. I'll let him tell the story here, Paulie.
Yes. Here we go.
I'm a rookie. I'm first time going to that stadium. I'm 2-for-28. And at the time, he was doing the play-by-play. After the game, he's waiting for me in my locker. And he says, meet me tomorrow at 11 in the morning. We had another 7 o'clock game. 11 in the morning. call my dad and tell him, hey, Tony wants to talk to me. He says, well, the only one that can fix your swing is Tony.
Just talking about the farmer's dog during the break and my dogs. And I've got in front of me the giveaway for Tuesday, the Joe Musgrove and Theo bobblehead. And I have to say, this may be the most detailed bobblehead I have ever seen. I mean, you look at Joe here, and just from top to bottom, he's got his last year giveaway bucket hat on. He's got his Joe Musgrove shades. He's holding his coffee from Cafe Adesso. He has his tattoos here on his left arm, shoulder. They are detailed right as well. He's wearing his Joe Musgrove basketball shirt giveaway. That's later this season, I believe. We haven't even seen that one yet.
Boy, we're going to look good in those.
He's got his dog, both him and Theo.
Bobblehead.
The only thing that's missing is like that big stack of pancakes he eats from Saquon. And that's about like everything else is included in this very,
really cool,
very cool and detailed Joe Musgrove
bobblehead. And as much as a bobblehead can look like somebody,
it looks like a pretty good job. Good representation.
It does look like Joe. I mean, it's not like, oh, I don't know. No, it's definitely...
I can't tell. Is that Ha-Sung Kim or Joe Musgrove?
That's one that that we definitely got to get into the collection at home. The kids will absolutely adore that one.
That is Tuesday. First 40,000 fans in attendance will receive the Joe Musgrove bobblehead with his dog Theo, presented by Petco. It's the second of five bobbleheads this year. If you're trying to collect them all, again, first 40,000. So plan to arrive early and go to Padres.com/giveaways to get more details on that one. But in terms of the bobbleheads, and I said yesterday during the roundtable, I'm not collector guy, but this one is this one's pretty cool for sure. If you are,
yeah, I like that segment that you had that you mixed in.
Yeah, let me quickly ask because Paulie didn't get to chime in because he's not part of it. So the question for our seventh inning stretch during the roundtable is: what was your all time favorite giveaway or promotion at a ballpark? Something that you got during the gates or something. This could be from your childhood, you know, going to a Mariners game or something.
It was probably the first giveaway I ever got. I was probably, I think, 5 years old.
Sweet Paulie, little five-year-old Paulie.
I don't know if they did it everywhere or if this was just something at the Kingdom, is where I went to. They would just put the giveaways on the seats.
Yeah.
Instead of when you walked in.
And it was there for you.
And there
was 40,000
giveaway.
What a nightmare of a job.
I'm like, well, did somebody just go down a whole road?
That's exactly what they did.
Yeah. Anyways, walked up to our seats, and it was Ken Griffey Jr. bat night, but they gave out the full-size wood bat.
Smart.
It was my favorite thing ever.
Should do that tonight.
It was not like the it was not a miniature bat. It wasn't a souvenir. I mean, it was a souvenir, but it was a wood bat. Like, you could hit it, which I ended up doing because I was 5 years old.
Yeah. Should do switchblades tonight.
Manny Machado, Saquon Casino, brass knuckles.
Brass knuckles. Solid.
It's nowadays you get your prize as you walk through the gates usually. But I have noticed like at NBA like playoff games, and every section, like there's the white t-shirt section and the blue t-shirt section. They do that by putting shirts on the seats before the game. So when you arrive, you put on your shirt and it looks really cool on TV when each section is like color coordinated and coded, and they do that by just having it set up. Maybe the Padres could do that sometime with some sort of shirt giveaway where it's by section and you get a white one and a brown one, and like alternates throughout the entire Petco Park.
You know, the seals messed up when we had our first playoff game, which is a couple of Fridays ago. We had the rally towels, and so the place was going nuts waving the towels. The next game we had, we gave away bucket hats and so I'm trying to get it was the easy way to get them around them. Wave those towels. And the place go crazy. Playoffs, you got to give something that makes noise or that you can move around and it looks, you know, the place goes nuts. It looks pretty cool. So, but yeah, you don't want to wave your bobbleheads around. You want to keep those.
What was your choice of the your favorite promotional item?
Oh, I loved the poncho. I loved the poncho.
That was a really good one this year.
The fan poncho.
Company man.
I'm also a company man. So,
Tony, who mentioned the... the helmets that had the little plastic insert it hurt those.
Well, if you took the plastic thing out and put it on, it was like four nails in the top of your head. It was a torture device. It was my buddy. We used to take them out because they wouldn't fit us.
Right.
And you'd bop your buddy on the head and you're like, you're done. You're done. No, it was a fun roundtable yesterday. It really was. And it gets a little spirited in there. Paulie, please read that comment
from
yesterday. So you're watching.
I wanted to know what happened. because I missed part of the roundtable yesterday, and somebody commented, on...
Let's give them the credit they deserve.
I can't. I don't think I can say their name.
Woods is checking.
I don't want to say it wrong. You got it?
Oh, now he's his glasses, running over.
Oh.
There's an F and a K.
All right, now we can
just... Odomi 628.
And all a right. U. Anyways, the comment is, Woods is such a pick-me girl, LOL. Why you got a rag on Benny just to get a laugh out of Tony, SMH? That means shaking my head.
Right.
And then he writes under that, Tony's also got a weird little hatred towards Ben, right, which is kind of wild.
So we were having the discussion about, and we will have this discussion with the skipper, Mike Schilt. It's like, you know, this is something we want to know about. We talked about it ad nauseum this week, taking Jerks and Profar out for a defensive replacement. His order, you know, spot in the order came up. Jackson Merrill, very qualified hitter, as we know. But you want your hottest hitter, Jerks and Profar, taking those swings there. And you made the case.
I understand it's kind of splitting hairs. But if there's still a chance that Jerkson's going to get up,
yeah,
and you're only up by a run or two, is the advantage of the better defense. And I'm not sure how much better it is. I will acknowledge that Azokar, at least, is a better defender.
Tony said it's pretty...
He thought it was pretty... a wider gap.
A wider gap than maybe
but
we
in did. The case of the game with Jackson Merrill went in, Azokar was already in. He moved over left, and Merrill went into center. And while Merrill's done a great job, and he's got speed, not an experienced defender, not as experienced as Jurickson Profar was. And I just thought, I don't understand this strategic decision. And
so why I went pick me girl is that Ben said, but you leave Manny in and you leave Fernando Tatis in. And I go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Of course you do. That's two of the best defenders. And you probably just pick two random names.
I mean, picked two good offensive players.
Correct.
Like, you leave your offensive players in. You were absolutely correct that
they're amazing.
You would never take either of those guys out.
I mean, for anyone.
If for some reason they weren't in, you might put them in for defense at the end of the game just because they are such good defenders.
So I did, and I wasn't trying to impress Tony per se, but I did call Benny out for that in the deal.
I feel like maybe Tony's just not used to the Ben Higgins experience, and there is a bit of eye rolling that comes along with just doing a show with me.
Never.
I understand. It happens from time to time. And Tony just seemed a little worn out by it. Maybe it was having to get up in the morning and be there, but I would make a comment and I'd look over and
he would give
Tony
more of these.
Would kind of do the old lean back in his chair, or just kind of his eyes would kind of,
let me ask you a question. Get on the couch. Lay down. Yeah. Okay. Just relax. I've done the same thing to you many times. I'll sit back in my chair, roll my head back, roll my eyes. Doesn't really seem to bother
Not
you.
At all. Yes.
Does it hurt? Hurts a little more from him.
Yes, of course.
You're not wrong.
It's not your fault.
You're not wrong at all.
Do I crave Tony Gwynn Jr.'s approval more than yours?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
100%.
Yes, I do.
Growing up a Padres fan your entire life, who was your favorite player?
That would be Tony Gwynn Sr.
And it hurts real bad when Tony Gwynn Sr.'s son, Tony Gwynn Jr., may think that you don't know ball.
Exactly.
It stings, like, maybe to your core.
A little bit, yeah.
Maybe stings you more than anything else.
Just the look at, like, why am I working with this idiot? Does hurt a little bit. And I'm never going to win that fight. He knows more ball than I do.
Well, yeah, he knows more ball than all of us combined.
He's forgotten more about
of course.
Baseball than
of
we'll
course.
Ever know.
Of course.
More ball than all of us have ever, you know. But here's the interesting thing, and this is why I think you're okay. He rolls his eyes at Crisello. He rolls his eyes at Craig
Chris
Austin.
Chris knows ball, played in college. He's as knowledgeable about the game as anyone that I know.
So he rolls his eyes at Craig Elston. He rolls his eyes at me. He rolls his eyes at Annie. He rolls his eyes at
Scravy, I'm sure, all the time.
Oh, God, I'm sure.
Probably doesn't roll his eyes at Adam.
Sorry.
Probably never. Never, ever. I wonder if Adam...
I think Adam's scared of Tony, too.
I wonder if Adam also texts Tony Gwynn Jr. the proper bullpen usage of the San Diego Padres.
I bet not.
I wonder if he does.
I bet not.
Hey, Tony, would you have gone with Estrada there, or shouldn't he have gone with so-and-so?
Is it extra sweet because it's against the Dodgers?
So, no, he... He's so good to have on the round table because he's so smart. So I asked him, I grabbed him after. And yeah, that's a little bit pick me too, but I like talking hitting with him because why wouldn't you? And I straight up asked him, I said, what are you seeing from Xander? And he said, it's in my opinion, he said, from, you know, being around him, knowing him a little bit, he goes, it's mental. He's just 100. And we talked about the pitch the night before, the 3-1. He goes, that's the same thing I thought. You take that pitch right there, it means you're not right. It means you're not right. Your head's not right. You can't pull the trigger. And when you're worried about your swing and you're worried about your leg kick, he goes, you're not going to be successful. And I said, what does it take to get out of it? He goes, hitting rock bottom. And I go, is there worse he can do? He goes, yeah, because he got a couple knocks and you start to feel like, okay, maybe I'm coming out of it. But you kind of know in the back of your head that you're not. You kind of know, even if you luck into a couple of hits. He said, he'll get going, but he's going to have to hit the bottom.
Getting a knock, and then there's a lock.
Yeah. There's getting a knock and being like, oh, God, I was so lucky to get that knock.
We have to check traffic. Does this relate at all to the story that Yonder Alonso told on MLB Network yesterday about Tony Gwynn?
Yeah.
And the advice? I think it kind of does. I want to play that. Can we play that?
We can. We can do it. You want to do it for Doo-Doo This?
We can wait, if you want, and do it for Doo-Doo This.
Paulie needs to load it.
All right, we'll have Paulie load it up. We'll play it. But Yonder told a story basically about when he was feeling rock bottom early in his career, and Tony Gwynn, as a broadcaster, gave him a little bit of advice that you might think is a little strange for a great hitter to tell another Major League Baseball player.
I absolutely thought it was a weird story.
But let's play that in Doo-Doo This a little bit later. We're going to check traffic. We'll come back. I'll give you some of the matchups for the upcoming series against the Dodgers. Look ahead to tonight through Sunday. Coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. Paul actually found it, so we're going to get to it in just a second here. But, you know, yesterday there was a lot of talk about Tony Gwynn. It was his 64th birthday, or would have been his 64th birthday. There were many segments on MLB Network about him. I was looking up this morning, and I saw Tony Jr. and Chris Gwynn. Chris Gwynn, had him on the phone yesterday, Gwynn.
We had Andy Ashby's great story about him yesterday at the end of the show.
I replayed part of one of my favorite stories I ever did with Tony for Channel 10. It was right before he went into the Hall of Fame. We were doing a lot of special coverage in the week leading up to it. And we had gone through our tape archives. And finally, I found the tape from July of 1982, the day Tony made his major league debut. And this was not like nowadays where every at-bat is on television and chronicled. That game wasn't on TV. But we had a photographer there who was just randomly shooting the game. And we had the video of his first major league hit. And Tony, I found out, had never seen his own first major league hit in his life.
So rad.
And on the week that, he was headed to Cooperstown, I went to his office at San Diego State. We set up a television, brought it, you know, I think it was on a VHS at that point, and popped it in. I said, all right, we're going to mic you up, put you on camera. I want you to react to seeing this for the first time. And you can see he got kind of emotional. He was watching
Damn,
it.
Damn, dude.
It was Bob Dernier, was it? Dove and almost caught it. And it got just by him and ended up being a double. And you see him pulling to second and the famous story. There's Pete Rose right there at second base as he's getting there. And the story goes that Pete said, don't catch me in one night, kid, as he hits second base. And you could see them obviously having a little interaction out there on second base. And Tony talked about the story and getting his first major league hit back in July of 1982. Was one of my favorite stories I ever got to do with Tony.
That is incredible.
So, all right. So yesterday they were talking about it on MLB Network, and Yonder Alonso, who was a Padre after Tony was done with his career, but he was still doing broadcasting for, you know, TV and did some radio as well. And Yonder was in a slump. I'll let him tell the story here, Paulie.
Yes. Here we go.
I'm a rookie. I'm first time going to that stadium. I'm 2-for-28. And at the time, he was doing the play-by-play. After the game, he's waiting for me in my locker. And he says, meet me tomorrow at 11 in the morning. We had another 7 o'clock game. 11 in the morning. Call my dad and tell him, hey, Tony wants to talk to me. He says, well, the only one that can fix your swing is Tony. So hopefully he's got something to say. I get there at 11 in the morning. He's already there with a bat and batting gloves. And he says to me, let's go to the dugout. I go to the dugout. I get dressed. I'm with my bat, my batting glove. He takes me to the home plate. And he says to me, nobody in this stadium today, 55,000 people, are going to know this. I need you to go again 0-for-4. What's the difference?
I need you to go 0-for-4
again. Nobody's going to know, but you're going to do it the right way. I'm tired of you hooking balls. I'm tired of you breaking bats. I'm tired of you striking out and staying on the curveball or the changeup. I needed you to hit it first at bat, a ground ball to short, second at bat, a fly ball to left, and hopefully you can get blown up. And the reason I'm telling
blown up, meaning jam,
hit the ball as deep
as possible. He wants you to break your bat.
He wanted that. And the reason for it is he says, it doesn't, you've already wasted 24 at bats doing it wrong. At least let's do it right to hopefully get you going for the later weeks that are ahead. And what he was trying to do was kind of calm me down a little bit, anxiety, bring it down a notch, and be able to enjoy myself, do it right. As my first at bat, I hit a ground ball to short. I look up to the skybox, and he's waving his hands. He goes, yes, yes. And I'm so pumped because I just hit a ground ball to shortstop, and I'm so happy. I didn't get a hit, but I'm so happy I did what he wanted me to do. Next at bat, I hit a fly ball to left. He's going up like this. He's like, you're right on it. You're right on it. The next day and the next day, 3-for-4, 2-for-4, my rookie slump was over.
That's amazing.
Phenomenal.
So he got you away from being results-focused.
Result focus.
All you wanted was a hit.
I was trying to do so much, getting traded from Adrian Gonzalez there. I wanted to hit 3 home runs and 1 at bat. And that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to tell me, it's a long season. That ain't going to happen. You need to hit the ball the other way. You need to do it right. And then you need to make some adjustments. That's the only way you're going to do it. If you're in the big leagues, you got to adjust pitch by pitch, not day by day. He would always tell me that.
That's wow. So cool. And I came in this morning and I saw that, man. And I go, Benny, explain it to me. Like, what was your takeaway from that? And now hearing it again for the second time, I go, it does make perfect sense. Like, you never want to celebrate an 0-for-4, but like you said, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way. So instead of thinking about anything else, the crowd in the stands, the fact that he got traded for Adrian, I'm not trying to hit a home run here. I'm just trying to hit a ground ball to shortstop. If that doesn't show you how mental that game is, and probably a little bit of what Xander's going through right now. I mean,
it's a great story after the fact. I do know that the way things work nowadays, if Xander ever came to the ballpark and told like the media before the game, he got around his locker and he goes, yeah, I'm just trying to go for 4 tonight. I just want to go the other way with it.
Hit a couple of
weak grounders to short. People would lose their minds.
I'll
go,
this
is a real game. They're playing the Dodgers. You can't try to go 0-for-4.
How about Don Orsillo goes down to Xander and says, meet me tomorrow at 11 a.m. And he shows up and there's Don with his bat and his batting gloves. And he tells him, you're doing it wrong, man. This is how you need to do it. I'll do you one better. Don Orsillo, hitting coach, San Diego
Padres. I don't know. If Don shows up, I want him just to have like a pan of sea bass ready for him. Just
on your locker?
Yeah,
oh, Don, that's so nice. Don made me sea bass to get me out of my slump from Don Antangelo.
During that clip, though, I was thinking about it as far as like golf goes. And like, Woods, you and I are not good at golf.
No.
And we spray the ball all over the course. And I'm thinking, all right, if I'm in that mode and I just cannot hit the ball straight, but Ben was like, I want you to shank it right.
Right.
And I shanked it right. I'd be like,
yes, I did something.
I tried to do something and I did it.
That would totally
change how I was thinking about
it. That's the gist right there, man. What an unconventional thing to tell a player.
Super counterintuitive.
Correct. Like. But, man, that is so, so good. Such good stuff this morning.
All right, we'll get to the matchups of the series a little bit later. When we come back, though, speaking of golf, it is time to reveal the details for our third annual-ish Ben and Woods Open. We will tell you what is what when we come back and then play a little take on Woods as well. 1 hour in the books on a Friday. Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.